Hey guys, it's me once again for part two of Relentless Phoenix Podcast, all about me, my journey, and my passion. So welcome, guys. I am your host, Yane. I am your mindset, life coach, your inspirational speaker, your mom, your friend, your human, and your wisdom in your pocket. I hope everyone is having a fine day. I hope everyone is well on their way to be happy, whole, and healthy. Over the last few years, I have been focusing on helping humans live a happy and healthier lifestyle. My mantra is one human at a time. On this podcast, we will be delving into the powerful stories, practical tools, and insights of how to become healthy in the mind, the body, and the spirit. Part one, the first of my episode, I spoke about my mom. I spoke about my dad, or I should say, AKA my sperm donor, and how my mom emotionally and mentally abused me, how my sperm donor emotionally and mentally abused me, how I was bullied, how I didn't have a great childhood, how I had a lot of trauma in my childhood, and how I overcame some of those barriers. Today, I want to delve just a little bit deeper into some of those topics that I was speaking about and go further into why I decided to do my podcast and a little bit of other extra things that on the side that I believe can be a benefit to you guys. I hope some of it resonates and I hope some of it plant a seed in your life so you can be that victor instead of that victim and really live a fulfilled and happy life. And if it doesn't resonate, well, like I'm always going to say, much blessings to you in every endeavor that you do. So let's begin. So I stopped with, you know, all of what I was doing for my business and how I am cultivating that within myself and just having a passion to go about changing the world, you know, one human at a time. And some of the life lessons that I learned was very difficult to learn, but I don't regret them. I don't regret those life lessons only because I feel as though it happened for a reason. And I am a true believer that I had a purpose, and I'm a true believer that some of the things that I went through, it was for me to give my testimony so others can see what it looks like from being at point A to B, what it looks like to be on the other side of that tornado, what it looks like to be the sunshine after the rainstorm, what it looks like to smile in the mix of your troubles and be triumphant over your challenges and not letting your challenges overcome you. So I don't regret going through these things, because if it's helping someone, then that is what is there for. We have to be okay with, you know, sharing our story and really leaning into some of those things that we've been through so we can help ourselves and everyone else in the world as well. And growing up, I struggled to find solace, and it was as if the world seemed very intentional in being against me or tearing me down. And it came from a lack of victimhood and a lack of void and emptiness inside of me, because things kept constantly repeating itself over and over and over again. And how do anyone get through a tough situation like that and overcome it? But looking back at it, I'm always feeling like it's a constant reminder. Every time I look back at my troubles, I'm always feeling like it's a constant reminder of my own vulnerabilities. And it was like a sword hanging over my head. I did a lot of self-sabotage. And I am very aware that I came far because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to find my own way. And the fact that I'm here today to share my testimony just speaks volumes of me really feeling like I was meant to do something for this world and never giving up. That resilience that I'm going to be speaking about throughout my whole podcast was truly the first foundation and stepping stone for me to get to where I need to get to, which is right here in this moment. Nothing in the past, nothing for tomorrow, right here in this moment talking to you. Whenever you hear my voice, this was meant for you to hear my voice, and it was meant for me to find you and you find me as well. And it works harmoniously all together. And when there is no harmony in the house, it seems as if the world is out of order. And that's, at least for me, it seems like that, when there's no harmony in the house, in your personal life or in here, when there's no harmony here, it doesn't feel like everything is together. And my vulnerabilities came from that, me feeling like the shoe is going to drop, or I don't feel stable or have any foundation to really walk and like really mold or really explore what it was needed for me to explore to get to a higher elevation in my life and in my enlightenment. So I had a lot of vulnerabilities when I look back at my life, but the fact that I overcame them speaks volumes, because someone didn't wake up yesterday to speak about what they've been through. So I can be a testimony and say I've been through it and I'm on the other side, you know? And that's a great feeling to have. But when I was in a chaotic space, I spoke a little bit about this in my first podcast. When I was in a chaotic space, my environment at school was affected as well. I didn't have a lot of friends. I wasn't really good at making friends. I was good with socializing. I was good being around individuals. But when it comes to actually making friends, I had a very narrow-minded way of looking at my classmates. And I felt, because my previous episode, my previous podcast that I just did, I spoke about how I didn't stay in school more than 2 years. How I... Every year or two, I would graduate and go. I would transfer out and go to a different school, and then that would happen again. I would stay in a year or two, and I would transfer out. So stability within my social environment was, needless to say, not there at all. I didn't really have stability in there, so I wasn't really good at making, or I was good at making friends. Let me say that, but I wasn't good at keeping them because I was filled with aggression. The way I thought about my classmates was very one-sided, and when I say very narrow-minded or one-sided, what I mean is that I got so comfortable with not knowing how to make friends that I started embodying that as a behavior, or I guess a coping mechanism to say, like, I'm not going to see you next year, so why bother? Why bother being nice to you? Why bother giving you a chance? Why bother trusting you? And I'm just going to transfer out anyway. So it came off very harsh. It came off very cruel. It, for me, it was more a protection mechanism than it was a regression, a aggressive outlook. And that's how I saw it. And I get that. But for me, it was like, I don't want to get close to you. I don't want to get close to you because I'm not even going to be here, you know, enough amount of time for me to even gain any type of relationship with you. So I just need you not to be around me. I don't want to even try, because I know I'm not going to be here long enough for us to even gain any type of chemistry or you know, nothing. You know what I mean? No moment I can chill with you or anything. It was very one-sided and very narrow-minded. And I took my frustration and aggression out on how I saw the world and what I thought wasn't and wasn't fair. And I took it out on them. And 9 times out of 10, you know, I could have handled things differently, but kids are kids, and they were definitely bullies. And those bullies that was in my classroom or just around me, I wasn't having it. So, you know, like I said, my last one, that they used to call me Layla Ali. I used to get in so many fights because of how aggressive I came towards just anything. It was misunderstood and misguided. It was very misunderstood. Nothing I did was right. However, nothing that they did was right either. You know, two wrongs don't make a right. That's what my mama always say. Two wrongs don't make a right. And on top of it being difficult, and making friends, I had a very judgy outlook on what I wanted to keep around me and what I didn't want to keep around me. And I started to define it very black and white. And if it was something I wanted to keep around me, then I would do all I can to be a part of it. But when it came down to friends, when it came down to being in the schools and me feeling lonely and depressed and filled with anxiety and me being gaslit and manipulated, I started becoming nonchalant about making friends. I started becoming an introvert an aggressive introvert, if that makes any sense. I don't know if that makes any sense. But I started becoming aggressive, getting into fights, but I still didn't want to make any friends. It was very backwards. I had them. Don't get me wrong, I had friends. It wasn't like I was, you know, a troubled child in the school. No, I was learning in the school. I was doing what I had to do in the school. But when it came down to building, you know, moments and connections, I wasn't really good with that because I came from a mind state of why bother? And I came from another mind state of having trust issues. So why would I, knowing that kids are cruel, why would I even try to even bridge anything with individuals that I know I can't possibly trust? There's no way I can possibly trust my peers. So I even bring down that bridge, you know, that wall and cross over and have that connection. So I became nonchalant a lot with just gaining, having friends. And I started to prefer to be alone, a loner, not so much alone. I didn't, but a loner. I was okay with having a small group of friends, but I didn't want to be in a crowd. I didn't want to have group activities or anything like that. I wanted to just be with me because group activities, you have to talk with them. You have to gain, you know, some type of understanding with them. And my classmates wasn't really the ones to be friendly. Excuse me. My classmate wasn't the ones to really, you know, be friendly and welcoming. Hey, I'm sure everyone knows listening to this that kids can be cruel. So and then here I come being new with my aggression and my attitude towards life and how I saw life and how I saw them. I knew that, you know, they had their cliques. I already knew from a young age what high school and middle school kids was all about before I entered in. And I was, like I said, I was very wise. If you heard my first podcast, I've been through a lot. So I had a lot of wisdom coming into, you know, what I was going through. And I had a mom who really spoke a lot of wisdom into me as well. Like I said before in my first podcast, we didn't really have the best relationship, but she definitely was one of those that will speak good information into me, wisdom, advice. You know, she would definitely be that one. So I knew coming in, I had that type of, you know, mature perspective on opening up and, you know, trying to have friends, knowing that high school friends are not really friends, if that makes any sense. You know, they're just your friends in school, not really your friends outside of school. So don't try to blend the two. You know, I had one of those type of conversations. So, you know, having that perspective and coming in just aggressive child and, you know, with low self-esteem, trying to fill it up with fake confidence, like take you to make it. Like I was one of those type of things. Like, here I am, guys, you know, party can start now, knowing inside of me, I was not that confident, but I had to do something later on throughout my life so I won't get bullied. So I won't, you know, make it seem like I'm scared of the world, which I was because there was a lot of things going on with me. But I came in with, I don't want to be a friend. I don't need friends. But here I am, you know, the party can start now. It's very, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but it was just one of those things. Is my mental was just all not connected correctly. It wasn't, but that's how I took it. It was like, I already know about you high schoolers already. Y'all clicky, you know, y'all not really my friends just because we're in a group project or just because we're in here laughing, not really my friends unless we're outside and we really can hang out. So why bother talking to you? I'm not going to be here next year anyway. And if I do, the next year following, I'm leaving anyway. So I bother with you. Like it was one of those type of things. But at the same time, there were individuals who would see right through it and gave me a chance and realized like, wow, you're not what you are on the outside. Like, you're actually cool. Like we actually could mess with you. We could hang with you. Like, you wanted a homie. Like, you're all that. Like, come chill with us, you know? Like, what's up with you with your anger issues? You know what I mean? You don't gotta be like that. I would get that a lot. Like, why are you having to be so angry? And then, you know, I would speak about me being abused and the emotion and mental toll it takes on me. And then that's when they'll speak about, hey, I go with the family issues too. And this is what I experienced. I didn't even know you experienced this. You know, you really don't talk about it. And it's like, dang, I didn't know that, you know, you was actually cool. And that's how I started getting my friends, through those that actually gave me a chance past the exterior that I was portraying. And once I got that type of friendship, then that's when it all worked out. But I wanted to be a loner for quite some time, just because of that whole dynamic. So loneliness definitely became a constant companion more than me having friends around. Yeah, they gave me a chance, but it was more loneliness that came to be a constant companion. And in my first episode, I did explain how some years later now I'm okay with being in my quiet moment by myself, because that gives me more of peace or more wholeness. But back then, I didn't want that. Loneliness definitely became a constant companion. And it was like a silent witness to my struggles. It was definitely choking me being lonely. It was like I was looking for some help, didn't have no help. I didn't have an outlet to have my pent-up frustration to be released. None of that at all. I really did long for connection or companionship. And I found myself perpetually on the outside looking in. I had always had an out-of-body experience when it came to anything that I do, or, which may sound funny though, but I also had, you know, I also heard voices, like certain things that direct me to a certain path, and how I got here today. So it was definitely a lot of out-of-body experiences that I was feeling, or just outside looking into my own life, just wondering what the heck is going on. Not being able to stop myself. Like I said, I had trust issues. I had a deep concern for being close to anyone because of me being abused or me being gaslighted or manipulated. So I came with a lot of confusion, misguidedness, and peers don't know what you go through. No one in high school knows what you're going through at all. Kids are not taught to care about other kids' problems or issues. We're taught in high school to, you know, get an education and graduate. You know, you gain friends along the way, but where they're not taught to be therapists or psychologists or sociologists to know exactly what to look for with an angry child or something like that, you don't know. So you're going based off what that child is showing you. Your peer is showing you. And in my case, I was showing a lot of aggression, a lot of sassiness. But, you know, I had individuals, like I said, that would look through all that and see that it was more. And that's how I started breaking down some of my barriers. But being manipulated and gaslighted and abused definitely put a damper on how my social skills and how I perceived everything, and the trust issues that came along with it. A lot of trust issues, a lot of dark moments my trust issue was abused, and it created a lot of attachment issues and how I move about life based on those attachment issues, which is pretty interesting. But I grew from it. I grew from it, and I learned to adapt. That's the most important thing about emotional resilience that I'm going to keep speaking on my podcast. It's about adapting to life obstacles and trying to find that clarity and cultivating anything that you need to cultivate in order to be your best self, empowerment or anything like that, to be your best self. And I had to do that a lot. And now I realize that the more I started thinking like that back in the day, the more my peers kept they distance, because why would they want to bother, you know, or they brought individuals closer to me, the more I responded a certain way, because like, hey, girl, I know that's not you. I spoke to you. I know you. That's not you. So let's not be so self-sabotaging and lean into something that is going to cause more harm for you and others, you know. And I had to think a lot about that. So my environment was small. It was very hostile, very small, very chaotic. But I learned a lot looking back at that. And like I said in my last podcast, because of the hostile environment that I was in, I became a fighter. Both literally and figuratively became a fighter. Because I was fighting so much, they said that my teachers was like, you're Layla Ali, because you're just here just fighting away, just fighting away. And it was just a fight for help. It was just a cry for help. That's what it is, because I was aggressive, and it was just a fight for help. I got tired of being bullied. I got tired of being picked on. I speak a lot about that in my last episode. I got tired of being picked on. I got tired of being bullied. And I was like, it has to stop. And the only way to stop is, mama used to say, to pop them in the mouth. You pop the big one in the mouth. You pop the one who's yada, 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 the chit chatter, the lead runner. You pop her in the mouth. And everybody else behind her, because you pop the one, the lean reader, the leader in the mouth, they're going to stop. You know, and that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. You know, you pop that one right in the mouth, and it seems like overnight they are not bullying you no more. And now the one that you popped in the mouth wants to be your friend now, or saying hi to you in the hallway now. You know, I'm not gassing myself up. I'm just looking back at that. And it's just a crazy dynamic of you have to stand up for yourself and you'll get the respect you deserve. That's basically all what I'm saying. Stand up for yourself to get the basic respect and dignity you deserve when you pop somebody in the mouth. Not saying violence is the end. I think violence is to be the end result. I think that there's a lot of plan A, B, C that need to take a work, you know. But as kids in the 90s, I'm sure, you know, there are other 90s babies that can testify that kids was, you know, high school was crazy, you know. Middle school was crazy. And sometimes you had to fight. I don't do that no more. I'm more mature and controlling my emotions. If anyone don't like me, hey, that's on you. You don't like me, now move on. You know, I spoke heavily about that in my first episode of this as well, where I speak about how my family disowned me when I spoke up against my sperm donor for abusing me and how they disowned me and written me off. Hey, you know, I have the attitude that if you don't be bothered, it's your loss and my gain. It's one less human in this world that I have to worry about, you know? So I didn't really matter too much on losing friends or losing anyone, because it came that easy to me to not care, because it's like, okay, on to the next, because I have so much other stuff to worry about than someone who don't like me. I have so much to worry about than who don't like me. Hey, you don't like me, great, at least I know where I stand with you. Now I can move accordingly. That's my whole thing. Let me know where we stand so I can move accordingly. That's the only thing I care about. If you don't like me, I can't change that. Only thing I can do is be my best authentic self possible. That's it. But being fully in being misunderstood came a lot of victimhood, because I always often wondered why I did. Often wonder why me. Like I said in my first one, I'm going to keep it pinning back to my first one, because my first one is the gist of everything I'm talking about here. I always knew I had a purpose. I just didn't know what that purpose was. I didn't know what that purpose was at all, but I knew I was meant for something. And I knew that once I can help, because I knew that's what I wanted. I wanted to help. I didn't know how. I didn't know what that looked like. All I knew was I wanted to help. That's all I knew I wanted to do. In my victimhood, before it turned to victorhood, all I knew was I wanted to help. And, you know, I didn't have an outlet to do that. So aggression and fighting was one of those things when that happened. And I learned from it. Not the really best way to do it, but no one told me how to control my emotions. No one, you know, really taught me what it looks like to lead in a positive way. So I went about my life and my journey the way I thought I would, fight my way out of every situation, because when my back up is against the wall, it's only me that I had to get myself out of. So I thought that fighting my way out of every situation, I mean every situation, not like picking, choosing your battles, I mean every situation, I thought that fighting my way out would be the best solution for me, because that's all I had. You know, I was told that I wasn't going to amount to anything. I was told that I was stupid. I was told I wasn't going to graduate high school and college. So my smarts, me believing I can talk myself out of it, or believing I can control my emotions, no one told me any of that. No one showed me what that looks like. I had a very chaotic, yelling household, maybe abusive household. So all I knew was fighting, 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 fighting. All I knew, fight your way out of a situation and win. And that's not really the best way you want to do things in life. You know, I had to realize that as I got older, it's not the best way. But, you know, I know more now, so I'm going to do better. And that's the only thing that you can do. You know more and you take it and you learn from it and you grow. And you, you know, reach your enlightenment and you become a extremely well-rounded human and an individual when you start building up your character based on the mistakes that you made and you look back at it and have that kind of ability and intention to commit to be better. And that's exactly what happened. And through all of that, I believe now that my life circumstances and situations brought me to this point today to grow me, to mold me. And I changed my perspective. And the reason why I changed my perspective from that victimhood perspective to victorhood perspective is because I had to be aware that the choices I made that brought me to being self-sabotage is the key word of self. I did it to myself. Didn't know I was doing it to myself, but I was doing it to myself. So I had to understand the world is not against me. I caused some of those issues, regardless if I knew it or not. I caused some of those issues. And we all have to understand that sometimes life, the things you're going through is because of you. Yes, there are situations in life that you cannot control. And it's unfortunate you can't control them, but the things that you can't control, those choices, the outcomes of those choices is because of you. I was abused. I was manipulated. I was gaslighted. I didn't know from my left, from my right, up, from my down. I did not know at all. But when I did start gaining a conscious awareness, I had a choice. Do I want to continue self-sabotaging myself, be my own worst enemy? Or do I want to stop that and find my purpose and my confidence and my identity and be my own best friend? What do I want to do now that I know that the next choice I make was up to me? What do I want to do? And I decided, sorry, my light went off on my camera. Oh my God, how embarrassing. I'm really technology savvy. I think I had it on a timer. Not for sure, guys. But yeah, so I had to figure out what I wanted to do. And I wanted to be my best friend because I was so tired of being my worst enemy. It was draining. It was exhausting. So I had to learn how to be my own best friend. And the moment that happened for me was in college. And when it happened in college, it was a crazy, crazy time in college. It was a lot that was going on in college. Mind you, I was facing my accuser, my abuser, sending him in jail. I was doing that during college. Took 7 years, by the way, for me to even speak up. And like I said, I lost family members because of it. So I'm here, you know, trying to speak up and advocate for myself when it comes to this. I'm over here trying to finish college. By the way, I was going to drop out because it was so stressful. Here it is, me talking to my mom about the things that she have done to me and, you know, my perspectives of her and her perspectives of me and how that influenced our lives. And now me trying to do better as an individual and grow from my circumstances in my life and just be trying to be the best I can possibly be. So I'm going through all that in college. So I had a eureka moment. Through all the chaoticness in my life, there was a flicker of light in college. And this was the turning point of how I become where I'm at now. This is the turning point. And I'm glad that I have this story to share because, you know, there are individuals who ask, well, how did you come from darkness into light? I had a flicker of light. It was throughout my whole time of existing on this earth. And it would be short moments of it. But in college, that flicker of light illuminated. It really did, like a light switch. It just came right on. It shined bright. And this is the story. So I'm in college, right? And I'm reading, and I got a bachelor's in social work, just so you know. I expressed that in my last episode, but I have a bachelor's in social work. So I'm reading some social work texts, and it was hard for me to read these texts, you know? And I'm here just, you know, I was told I wasn't smart, I wasn't amount to anything, yada, 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 the whole story, right? So I'm in here trying to convince myself. This one paragraph took 10 minutes. I'm trying to convince myself to read. I'm trying to convince myself to read, and I'm like, why is it taking so long? This is gonna be forever that I'm here, and I need to get to other chapters and other reading source material in order to finish for this period. And I break down and cry. Like I cried a lot because I was exhausted. I cried a lot. And in this moment, this was the least of what I expected. In this moment, I heard a voice. And this voice said, "You're doing it." Yes. This voice said, "You're doing it." So I was like, "What?" This voice said, "You're doing it." So I was like, "I'm doing it?" It didn't hit. I repeated myself. I said, "I'm doing it? Wait a minute. I am doing it. I am doing it. There's no one with a gun to my head. There's no one holding my hand telling me I have to finish college. There's no one telling me what I need to do, what I don't need to do anymore. I have the freedom to do all I can. There's no one here trying to shape me and mold me. I can find myself." I look back at my life situations and I realize that I overcame some of the craziest traumatic experiences anyone has ever faced in their life. And the reason why I say that is because some situations are too much for some individuals to bear. So they're 6 feet under right now, can't even testify that they overcame anything because they're no longer here to speak about it. I am. So I'm overcoming it. I am overcoming a lot of things I thought I didn't. And I had to challenge those negative thought processes that was in my head. Come to find out, those negative thoughts that was in my head was not mine. Once I started digging deep into what this negative thought was, can I remember who told me this negative thought? And every time I saw a negative thought and where it derived from, it didn't come from me. It came from some other individual, some other elder, or some other somebody that was probably important in my life, and they spoke negatively into me over and over again until I started embodying and believing that it was true for me, which it wasn't. Once again, I started embodying what I thought was true. And it came so evidently true because I started looking around my situation and my circumstances and started purposefully looking at and finding evidence to make sure what my negative thought process was about myself came to fruition. I was totally wrong. I was totally wrong about that because I was trying to look for evidence to back up those claims, those negative thoughts. And I challenged them and I was like, "You know what, Yane? No, you are smart. You got a 3.0 in high school. You graduated." There's a naysayer, my sperm donor, who said I wasn't graduating high school. "You did it. You got a 3.0, you get a 3.0 in every semester. Ain't nobody holding your hand telling you that you gotta do this. You're doing it. You waking up every day trying to find purpose in your work. Purpose in your poetry." At the time I was doing poetry. "Purpose in what you love. You're doing it." And I had a college club, a poetry college club, called Sagacious at my university. "You got these clubs, you got this, you got people coming here. You need to look at what you're doing right now." And what I tell my clients is the future is never here. The moment is gone. You only have right now. So I had to stay in right now to really reorganize my thoughts. So I could finish school because I thought I was going to drop out of college. I did. So I had to really finish understanding and being aware of where I put myself at within me. And I put myself behind all the negative thoughts that others poured into me, that others had over my life, that others stated. I didn't have none of those thought processes that I wasn't good enough, that I wasn't this. I thought I was because, like I said before, if you was watching my first episode, I was like, I always had this feeling that I was meant for something. I didn't know what it was, but I was so distracted externally looking for someone to fill my void in, my void that I had inside myself, that it was filling up with the wrong information. And then when it started filling me up, I thought it was me. I was embodying something else that somebody else said. So I had to realize that I couldn't chain myself any longer to those thoughts. So what I did was I changed my process. I said, "Do I want to be happy?" "Yes." "All right, so what are you going to do about making yourself happy, helping yourself be happy?" Well, the first thing is starting up here. The first thing is looking outside side of myself if that was the first thing I had to do. I was so external. So I was like, okay, well, I want to be external. Then I have to look outside of myself to find what makes me happy. That didn't work. So I said, instead of doing it, to look external outside of myself, now I have to look internal. I have to find out my authentic self, what makes me happy on the inside. I have to start small and build my confidence up, because there's no one around you that's going to do it for you. You can be your own worst enemy, or you can be your own best friend. You get to choose. Your choices is your choices. No one else's choices can influence your choices if you don't allow them to influence your choices. Did you follow that? Your choices are your choices, and others don't get to influence your choices if you don't allow them to. It's 100% true. You have to push through to get to the other side, because you have to believe you did. You have to believe you got to the other side. I personally believe in my spiritual realm that every obstacle that we already been through, we already overcame it. Yes, it looks new to us. Our human existence, our human eyes, it looks new to us. But spiritually, on a spiritual playing field, we already overcame it. That's why it was. That's why it's coming to us. Because we already came it. How I know that we already came every situation that we possibly have, because you listen to me right now. You once thought that your past that you was going through previously, you already know how you overcame it. Look at you now, listening to me. You're listening to me now. So that right there is a testimony of how strong and how resilient you are, because you're here. You put one foot in front of the other. You said no to something when you could have said yes to something. You could have been 6 feet under, or you could have been somewhere else, blindsided about something. But yet you chose to do with something else, and now you're here. You could be a testimony to somebody. So you have to believe that you can overcome. And that's what happened to me. I had to believe that I can overcome all my obstacles. And that's what happened. So when I had that eureka moment of you're doing it, I'm like, you know what? I am doing it. And I could not allow anyone else prior or before, after, whatever, come into play when it comes to how I saw myself. I had to tell myself what's up. And what I tell my clients is, it's not what they tell you. Excuse me. What I had to tell my clients is, it's not what they tell you, it's what you tell yourself. What are you going to tell yourself? What are you going to do to make sure everything you're looking outside of yourself is full of positivity? You have to look for positive things. We're energy. Our human existence is all about energy. So what you get out into the world, you're going to get back. So are you looking for all the positive things that you can back behind and say, hey, I may not be at the job that I want, but I have a job. I may not have the house I want, but I have an apartment when somebody outside right now is living on the street in the cold. So are you looking for those positive aspects, or are you delving deep into the negative? If you are, then you're not giving yourself the service that you need and respect and love and grace that you need, because you're focused on materialistic things. Or you focus on things that's on outside of you. You're alive. That's the most important thing you should shout to the rooftop. You're alive. Somebody was not here. Somebody didn't wake up. But you did. You made it. You made a sister. You made a brother. You did it. You know, you overcame. You put one foot in front of the other. You got out of the bed. You told that devil no. You did it. You're doing it. And keep doing it. And that's how I had to keep empowering myself. I had to keep telling myself. Self. I said, I said, you're doing it, girl. Myself said, you know what? I sure am. And then, you know, after I tell myself I am, regardless of what goes on in this world, keep that attitude. Keep I am doing it. Because what life can bring about is a lot of headache, a lot of challenges, a lot of problems. And you don't want to be on the opposite side of you, which is the devil side. We all got the good and bad. And you don't want to be facing your demons. You don't want to face them. And one, I would like to argue that if you do get a chance to face them, lean into it. Body that. You know what? I'm scared of this, but you know I'm going to break through it. You know what I mean? If you want to lean into something negative, you know what? I don't believe I'm the attractor, but you know what? Because I don't believe I am, that doesn't mean that I'm going to fall short and getting my hair done, getting my nails done, accentuating things that I believe is beautiful about me. Don't give your bad self, your negative self, the satisfaction of overruling every positive aspect about you because you're looking for things that you is out of your control. Don't look left or right. Don't look up and down. Just look within. That's the most important thing that I can ever give anyone, is to look within, because you owe yourself that. So after college, when I had that eureka moment, it really meant a lot, because that took a lot for me to even get to that point of self-love and fill it up with grace. I had to do a lot of grace work and forgiveness for myself, because after I was aware that I was self-sabotaging myself, after I was aware that those negative thoughts that I was chaining myself to wasn't even from me, I was chaining myself to past experiences and trauma, now the work of forgiveness came into play and grace came into play. I had to cry a lot, because I was like, wow, I did myself a bad disservice in how I treated myself. I didn't know. But now that I do, I treated myself horribly. I treated myself so horribly. The self-sabotaging, the abusing of alcohol. I treated myself horribly with all the wrong choices and decisions and those that I want that played a part of my life, and the bad and good of everything. I treated myself horribly when it came to the bad things. So I had to forgive myself a lot. And it takes a lot of therapy, and not necessarily therapy going and talking to somebody, because like I expressed in my last episode, it didn't work out for me. They checked me off of boxes, and the most of the check marks I can fill, they gave me a title, and I don't believe that was part of my who I am. I just believe I'm human. I don't like all the titles that's bestowed upon me. I just feel like I'm human and I'm complex. That's just me. And I had to do a lot of groundwork and understanding who I am, what I can give into this world. And that was the first stepping stone of getting there, was telling myself that I'm doing it, giving myself grace, and giving myself forgiveness. So that will be it for this second podcast episode. If you like it, you want to know more, please subscribe, help your girl grow. Share, like, and comment. Tell me how you feel about it. Tell me what some of those things that you did to overcome your adversities. And if you want more and you want to hear more, come visit me on my social media platforms. That is Relentless Phoenix 00. The 00 is for the Xfinity sign, always beginning, never ending. That would be on TikTok and Instagram. Facebook is Phoenix by Yane Snead. I also have a website, yahnesnead.com, YahnesNead.com, where you can sign up for newsletters and more. Once again, everybody, peace out, my kings and queens. I salute y'all. Until next time.